world of e-commerce can be tricky, and that's why you need the experts to help take you to the next level. This is Delivering E-Commerce, and this is Chris Parsons.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Delivering E-Commerce. I'm your host, Chris Parsons, and I am very excited to have I'm a super fan for one, so to have Jay on with us today. If you guys haven't had the opportunity to watch Jay's videos on YouTube, I'm a big fan of all the stuff he's doing from an angler perspective, and then also the quality of videos that he produces. Jay, would you love to introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, sure. Name is Jay Siemens. I just turned 30 years old. I'm from Southern Manitoba. Now I live on the not too far from Lake of the Woods, Kenora. It was always a dream destination for me, and now I get to live here. And that is kind of, you know, the perfect place for a person that makes fishing videos, and that's what I do. So I kind of used to be a fishing guide, guided at different fishing lodges across Canada. And then through all that, I got a passion for photography, started filming a fishing show with my buddy Aaron Weeb, did that for a couple years. Then did the YouTube, then he started, you know, growing on YouTube more. And we kind of went separate ways. We're still best buddies. But then I ran a production company for a number of years. And now just in the past 4 years, I've kind of started self-documenting my journeys, my fishing trips, hunting trips, that sort of stuff. And now I pretty much have stopped doing productions for third parties. It's basically just my YouTube channel is I guess my main source of income. And I've started some side hustles, which we'll probably talk about. But yeah, now I make my living going fishing and shooting videos and kind of like, yeah, it's my childhood dream to do what I'm doing right now. When I grew up, I was always watching TV fishing shows. And now it's kind of just in the world we live. I think for myself and a lot of other people, I consume more YouTube than TV. I don't have a satellite subscription. I think everyone has Netflix, but I consume mostly on YouTube. And that's kind of why I create on YouTube, because I think that's where a lot of the attention is. And yeah.
That's awesome. And you know, thanks for rubbing it in that you're 30 years old and having this great living your dream. Not too many people get to do that. That's
very lucky.
You should be very proud of what you've accomplished already at the young age of 30, because not only are you doing it, you're doing it with a great network. You're being really respectful in communities. Like, the amount of comments that I see about the quality of individual that you are, is it says a lot about you. So kudos to you for that.
You can edit yourself however you want to look, though. All the bad stuff. Edit it out.
Yeah, you can't edit out the social media comments. I mean, you can block some, but there's still ways to track the voice of a brand, and you're creating a great one for yourself.
Thank you.
Let's dive into, you know, when you were working on the video side of it, and you're honing your skills. I saw an episode where we were talking about the different equipment that you use, and really not from the fishing standpoint, just from the videographer stuff. And, you know, from a lot of I'm doing, obviously I've got myself a new halo light to give me the perfect complexion for a 45-year-old. And then, obviously I'm using some good quality mics and a great, cam, but yours is because you're outside doing a lot of stuff. What was your biggest learnings during that part of your journey on investing in the right equipment?
Well, I think it's so easy to just get caught up in gear in general. And, you know, the story will always trump whatever the camera gear is. Like, when you look online and you look at, you know, a lot of viral videos or videos that get a lot of views, so often it's not the highly produced stuff. It's the stuff that's a really cool moment that's captured a really good story. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think my, and this is getting a little off topic, but when I started making YouTube videos, one of my first videos that got a lot of views, it was how to clean a goose. That was like, we were breasting a Canadian goose out. And my main camera died. And then I was like, okay, we'll just film with the GoPro. We started filming. My GoPro dies. I'm like, okay, you know what? We're going to finish filming this with my iPhone. So I used my iPhone. And the video was like, my normal videos would have drone footage and slow-mo footage and like cinematic music. And then we slapped this video together that was like, it was informational. It gave you the A to Z of how to clean a goose, but the quality on the production wasn't quite there. And I put it on YouTube and it outproduces all my other videos.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, there's something to this. You know, I pride myself in my style being, you know, a higher production value cinematic, but I think people get so caught up in the gear. So for me, it was, you know, realizing that the gear. And even now I've streamed down, I'm selling camera gear all the time and I'm trying to streamline because I find that it's so much more important to get, like, to make sure I can get the shot if it's something that happens quick. Like if I have to pull my phone out and there's iPhone shots in my video, I'll use those because it's more important than, you know, setting up everything, setting up the big camera with a monitor, all that stuff takes time. So over the last year, 2 years, it's like, how can I do as much as possible with as little as possible? And like streamlining my kit, I guess you could call it, you know, and that's just an ongoing learning process. As far as like learning photography and videography, it was all self-taught. Like you with your podcast on e-commerce, I mean, people are looking online for experts and a lot of people aren't going to school anymore. For me, right. I didn't go to photography school. I just went on YouTube and was like, okay, how to import footage into Premiere. And I'd learn, and it's like how to fix light flickering. And there's 30 videos on how to fix light flickering when you're filming slow-mo shots. So it's like all those fundamental photography things and those little glitches you run into along the way, there's answers for it. You know, some of it is just experience and you have to go do it, but so much of it you can learn online. And that's kind of what I like about YouTube and what I want to give back to is like, you know, help teach other people. Cause I didn't go to school and I learned off YouTube. So.
Yeah, it's great. And I love the fact that you talk about less about the quality, even though you pride yourself on quality, but more about having authentic videos that are real and in the moment versus getting too focused on spending big dollars on the equipment. And you can get there, but it's not required, which is great. So once you did that, you got some experience filming for someone else. And then you said you obviously have maintained a great relationship and you guys have shot videos together since then.
Yep.
What really was the calling to say, you know what, I'm going to get into doing these videos and do my own YouTube channel. And I mean, you hit a milestone just about a month or so ago, maybe a couple of months ago now, 100,000 subscribers. Yeah. So congratulations on that. But what inspired you? And that's a 4-year journey to get to 100,000 subscribers.
Yeah,
right?
It was, you know, I was very, very fortunate at the start. Like when I started making YouTube videos, I started dabbling with some travel videos and behind the scenes on like, you know, photography on like wedding photography, anything. And for me, it was just like, I'm traveling a lot for at that point in my life, I was probably on the road for 200 days a year. And I was like, you know what, I want to document my trips, you know, beyond it turning into a full-time business thing. I was just like, you know what, I want to look back on these. It's like my journal, it's my blog or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. And I still every once in a while will look back an old video and be like, man, I barely remember that. It's so cool to have it on video, that specific fish or that's, I mean, I've moments beyond that, beyond just catching fish, like funny stuff that goes wrong. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what, I just want to document this. I'm always doing, you know, some interesting, I got to go to some cool places, right? So I want to document that. So that's kind of how it started. And then kind of, it was one specific conversation with Travel Manitoba, Huntfish Manitoba. They've been my longest partner. And they were like, you know, why don't you start, you know, why don't we partner on some stuff and see what can happen? And they kind of put faith in me right away. So like, hey, Jay, you want to film some videos in Manitoba, do some destination type stuff. And I learned a lot from my boss there, whatever you want to call him, Ryan Suffren. He just knew a lot about, you know, product marketing and destination marketing. And it was just, they gave me the ability to focus on making YouTube videos and not to have to, you know, I used to shoot a lot of weddings. That was like my main source of income because weddings are lucrative in the photography world. But you know, it takes up a lot of your time. And then once I had the some sponsors coming on board with YouTube videos, it was kind of like, okay, well, maybe I won't book as many weddings and I can focus a little more on shooting fishing videos. Cause that's the toughest at the start is like, for so many people, they have a Monday to Friday job and then you're making a video weekend and you're editing in the evenings. And that's why it's tough to like, it's tough to do YouTube videos kind of halfway. You kind of got to go all in if you want to do it. But it takes, you know, it starts as a side hustle. And then if you can, you know, rally up some sponsors or get enough views that it pays in the AdSense, then that's another route to do it. So I think everyone's journey is different, but I was very fortunate to have people coming on right away. And then I kept phasing out my other corporate stuff. I would, you know, I was still doing YouTube videos. I was probably doing half YouTube videos and half corporate tourism video photo stuff. And then the YouTube just kept growing. And I was like, you know what, even if the YouTube isn't as financially viable or not, no, financially, like I could make more money shooting corporate stuff is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
YouTube is where my passion is. And, you know, maybe in the long term, it could be, you know, more profitable, but even in the short term, I was just like, I love this so much more. And it's more life-giving for me. There's no creative constraints on YouTube. You can do whatever you want. I can upload a video today. I can upload a video in a week. It can be 2 minutes. It can be 10 minutes. And nobody, like there's no revisions. If I was making a video for you and you were my client, you would be like, okay, Jay, make these three tweaks.
Yeah.
And we'd go back and forth. We'd make more tweaks. Now YouTube, it's like, I can just have the final say and upload it and experiment. And yeah, so
you control your destiny when it comes to the content that you're producing and putting out there. So that's a lot. It's got to be gratifying because as you say, if you're working with a company or an organization, it's their direction, it's their feel, their vision. You play a role in it, but ultimately you've got to answer to them. So you've taken control of your own journey when it comes to YouTube. I think as an influencer, and this is where I think my audience is obviously with an e-commerce background and an e-commerce audience. We're all looking for influencers. We're trying to partner with the right folks to reflect our brand. You have some sponsorships and one of them is, I'm going to bugger up the name now. I should have got it. It's an auto parts.
Princess Auto.
Yes. And you've mentioned them a few times. How did that relationship come along? Because especially from when you're like thinking about ice fishing, you don't think of Princess Auto, but then go in as a now, because you've got me hooked and my wife blames you for this because I spend a lot of time ice fishing now.
Yeah.
And so she doesn't see me on weekends anymore. But between your YouTube videos and Clayton Schick and all the other partnerships that you've introduced me to through your content, it's like I couldn't even imagine that connection with Princess Auto. How does that come about?
Yeah, I mean that's the thing about when you put a video on YouTube is you never know who's watching it. And it always surprises me. And you know, it's someone refers it to a friend, refers it to another friend. And then all of a sudden, yeah, it's someone from Home Hardware watching or it's someone from Princess Auto. Right. And yeah, I mean, Princess Auto is a store that before they approached me, it was like, I always liked visiting there. They had a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just a natural fit. But I mean, I get emails probably maybe not every day, pretty close to every day from like people wanting to do partnerships. Like it, and so often it'll be like a one-off Amazon. It'll be like some random email from overseas. And it's like, hey, we want you to do a review video on our heated gloves. Or right. It's like, hey, we have this new flashlight. And those just like, first off, you can tell it's a cut and paste email. So I just have no interest in it there.
Yeah.
Secondly, they're looking for a one-off. They're looking for a one-off review video, which just as a brand, it doesn't interest me. Like I want longer lasting relationships and I wanted something that I can use because people see right through you if it's not authentic. If you're doing something just because it's a plug, they're going to see through you. And that's, I think why YouTube has such a big audience is because it feels real. It doesn't feel like necessarily a TV show where it's all pluggy. So it's just always trying to navigate that line on partnerships because I need partnerships to make a living. Like the YouTube AdSense, it's called, what you get off of the money when someone watches a video. Maybe I can make a living off of it, but the sponsors, you know, they help fill it out, right? It's all one piece of the pie. So with Princess Auto is a marketing firm that reached out that does all their marketing. And I was like, yeah, I think we can do this. And they said, Jay, like, we don't want anything big in sales. We just want people to become familiar with the brand. And like, if you're using a product from Princess Auto, just mention it. It doesn't need to be like this video presented by Princess Auto.
Right.
You know, and that's how it goes. Some people want that and they want the one-off review video. And I'm like, no, that's not what I want. I want like Dakota Lithium. They've been a partner for a long time too. And it's like, I use batteries all the time. Lithium batteries are the way of the future. And you know, they're fantastic. So I'm very careful on that side of things about who I'm going to partner with. Cause I think you can turn people off of your brand in a hurry.
If it looks like you're just taking sponsorship after sponsorship and the Princess Auto, like I think one of the very first tips a year or so ago when I started watching you was these big chunky mats to keep your feet a little bit more warm. And right away I tuned into their website after that video. And I was like, oh my God, these guys, like they actually had other ice fishing solutions as well, some buckets and some stuff like that. And you just wouldn't have connected the dots, but because of your influence, me and I'm sure a bunch of other people have now established a relationship with them as well.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, for what I do at the end of the day, like I want to entertain people, but then when those partners do come on board, like, I gauge success as like, are the partners, are the sponsors happy at the end? Did I help draw people over to them? And to, you know, I'm always super into the analytics, right? Like it turns into a little bit of a game too, because I'm just curious, like how many people click off that link to that product? Because we'll save this for later, but just talking about, yeah, like not all views are the same. You can tell that like, you might get a video that has 20,000 views and you might get a video that has 1 million views, but depending on the type of video and how you're selling and how that works, the 20,000 might convert more sales than the 1 million. And I think people just get so caught up in the numbers. They view me as a number. They put me into a program and it's like, okay, this is how many impressions you're getting. This is what you're worth. And it's like, no, because I've now with my own side companies, I've been playing around with that. And I see like, that's not the truth a lot of the time.
Yeah, you bring up a great point about analytics and the making sure you define the KPIs, the key performance indicators that you're going to measure from your videos. I mean, I've been dabbling in this for 9 months now, and I've had some videos get 22,000 views and some get 66 views. Yep. But the 66 views have people watch it from end to end.
Yeah.
And so I know 66 people were engaged, where all of a sudden, I guess YouTube has pushed me up the ladder and got 22,000 views, but they're all 1.5 minute views. Yeah. So really, I was getting a lot of impressions, but knowing stickiness on that video from those consumers. So it really just buggered up my metrics versus actually helping me understand how valuable my content was.
Exactly.
So when you go and you look at them, you produce almost a video every week or every couple of weeks for sure.
Yeah.
How tied to the metrics are you? Do you like sweat it if a video didn't get the same impressions as the last one, or you're just like where do you look at them?
I mean, I think people are going to like different videos for different reasons. And I have a hunch to a certain extent, I can kind of predict which videos are going to do well. Kind of. Yeah. So like, for example, I know that with my audience, walleye videos are going to do well. People right. love walleye fishing, because the thing is, if you fish one weekend a year in Canada, you likely walleye fish.
Right.
If you are a guy that fishes 50 weekends a year, you probably bass fish and musky fish. But if you're going to put a video online and it's walleyes, you're going to hit so many more people. So right away, I know walleye videos perform very well. But then it has to do with titles. If I do a fly fishing video, I know my audience isn't fly fishing. And I don't lose sleep over that, because that's a video I want to make. As soon as I'm only making videos based off of what other people are going to like, well, then I don't think I should be doing YouTube, because then you're doing it for the wrong reasons. And that's why I think sometimes, you know, people get into YouTube now and they're trying to just like, hey, I want to copy one of my videos, or I'm going to copy an Aaron Weeb video or a John B video. And it can definitely do well, but you kind of have to have your niche that makes you a little bit different. And when you're trying to chase the other ones, it doesn't work. So I think like, yeah, I'm always trying to stay original, and I know that some of my videos maybe aren't going to be a flop, but like I've put like some of my longer style, maybe like some of my films that I've had in a fly fishing film festival, and it's got 10 times the production value of my other videos, and it gets half the views. And right. it's like, I'm not hurt. That's just what YouTube favors. And
yeah, or it's this niche audience versus some masses. So yeah, it makes sense. You know, as I continue to ask these questions, what I'm leading to is obviously our conversation about e-commerce, but I think branding, influencing, how you go about your business is important for the audience. And one of the things I kind of touched on, which I found really interesting, is now there's so many options from influencers and YouTubers when it comes to angling and ice fishing. Like, it's almost a new person every day starting up a channel. But there's one thing, and I would love to get clarity on how you go about doing this for the audience, is whether I'm watching somebody in Minnesota, Wisconsin, they're all mentioning you, and whether they've had a relationship with you or talked to you, you're obviously building a network with, whether it be Clayton or, you know, the guys, I forget the two brothers out of,
brothers,
they're fantastic to watch, but all of them speak highly of you and have a relationship with you and talk about whether it's your Catch and Cook product. But how did you start establishing those cross influencer relationships and start supporting each other?
You know, I think so much of that stemmed from Aaron Weed from Uncut Angling. He was just, he's done such a good job of always giving people credit and always turning the limelight away from him and just connecting the dots with so many cool people. And I think we had the series called 39 Hours, which was a competition series with a bunch of different characters, and it wove a lot of those together. So, I mean, Aaron just showed me, you know, how we can all, you know, be friends in the YouTube community. And I think there's just, it helps. Like there's this saying, and I heard from it in the photography world, but it's like community over competition. And I don't know, people get weird sometimes, and it's like, well, we're all kind of doing this. We're all living our dream, or, you know, a handful of us are that are friends are able to live our dream off of YouTube. And so I don't know. I always try to just be friends with everybody. And, you know, like there's a time where they're going to need me and I'm going to need them. And it's just like, you know what, stay buddies. And it's cool. It's fun because I know that I can travel to Minnesota and there's people that would let me sleep in their basement, take me fishing and whatever. And if Clayton comes out from Saskatchewan, he can live at my house for a week if he wants and whatever. And so I don't know. It's cool. Yeah. We're all buddies. And like, even for Clayton, our relationship goes like way before YouTube. Clayton and I had been going on road trips around Canada and the States when we used to guide together. And so we'd been friends before the YouTube, and we both started our YouTube kind of at the same time. And it's kind of grown very similarly at the same time. So yeah, it's just fortunate on that side.
I love the comment about community versus competition. I have done a few podcasts where I talk about a very similar concept, because I think from a retail perspective, e-commerce is still 20 something years later after it launched. Yeah. It's still very immature in Canada and has a long way to go. And I'm like, we can compete, me as versus like Depot or Lowe's or yeah, you name the competitor, or we can be more collaborative on, you know, where the technology goes, whether it's personalization, A/B testing, logistics. We can go and really build up the market in Canada, and then we can become frenemies and get really competitive with each other. But until that happens, there's enough there for us to build up the industry overall, which then makes it a bigger pie for all of us to go after versus being competitive off the hop. And you're like trying to be number one all the time. It's not going to help out the overall industry, nor the people that are coming up in the world, because, you know, those folks need a hand up as well versus us just being like, let's worry about today.
Yeah.
So that's great. So you've got this YouTube channel, and then of course you want to layer on more and you decide to launch a Catch and Cook brand. Let's talk about Catch and Cook. And there is one more other thing. I know you're partnering with somebody on this whole food kind of aspect. And I forget the name of the partner on that, but I watched you do a video on cooking, it wasn't shrimp, but it was,
some beer batter stuff. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, my partner with Catch and Cook is, his name is Josh McFadden. And I guess the story on Catch and Cook is we were in Eastern Manitoba filming an ice fishing video. And I mean, I've always had an entrepreneurial, you know, mindset, soul, whatever you want to call it. And I've always like, I'd like to start a side business as well. Just because maybe YouTube fades out one day, or maybe my body fails me and I can't do YouTube or whatever it might be. Right.
Yeah.
So I think it's dangerous to put all your eggs in one basket. So I'd always had it on the back of my mind. It's like, I'd like to start something, but like starting a fishing rod or lure company is pretty tough. You know, it's a pretty competitive. So my buddy Josh and I were ice fishing and cooking fish on the ice and hanging out. And he's like he doesn't like to call himself a chef, but he's a chef. He is so creative when it comes to food. He's a content creator and marketing guy, kind of like me.
Right.
And I was like, we should start like a fish coating business, like a fish batter and spices and that sort of stuff. And he's like, yeah, it's a good idea. And he already had like a family recipe that he had tweaked over years and made it kind of just right. So at the same time, there was a kind of a trend on YouTube called catch and cook videos, right? You'd catch it and you'd cook it. It could be hunting, it could be fishing, it could be whatever. And we started looking online. I'm like, I wonder if we could do the name Catch and Cook. That'd be pretty cool. And we looked online and did a bunch of research, and there was no brand named Catch and Cook.
Amazing.
And I'm like, we have to. I'm like, we can't not. So that was probably about 2 years ago. And then it was a long time to figure out the product, the development, and finding a mill and finding, you know, that's all changed. And we can go as deep as you want into that. But now our whole goal has been to get not hands off in a way of not being part of the company, but we want to be hands off on the production. Like the mill has the recipe, we sign off on it, it's all good. But like, we want to create the cool content and like go on cool trips and show you guys what can happen with it and do, you know, cool marketing based around it. So our first couple orders of Catch and Cook, it was like Josh going to the Canada Post office with 50 bundles in his shopping cart and like mailing off, and the person at the front desk just hated him and stuff. And it's just like, we've come, I don't want to say a long ways, but things have changed a lot in the past year. Cause that's how it was like a year and a half ago. So
that's amazing. Yeah. I remember trying to order it a couple of times. I did finally get some at Christmas time, but before, you guys were selling out so quickly. And whether that was like logistics or just forecasting, because you don't know how many people are going to decide. It's always hard to forecast the success of a new product, but obviously, you know, over the Christmas time, I was able to get my hands on 4 bags of it and different crunchy, the original, and I think a spicy one.
Yeah.
And as I was kind of saying before we started the podcast, I have been fortunate enough this year to go to Lake Nipissing a few times with the different groups. And each time we dabble in the Catch and Cook, and it's the best batter that's out there, on hands down, is the best out there.
Really, and it's funny because like when Josh and I hear that, we're just like, are people just saying this because they're our friends? Like, would we get feedback if it wasn't good? So it's just like, but we love hearing that, right? Because it's, I eat a lot of fish. When I got it, I ate a lot of fish, and I'm like, no, this stuff's great. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, full transparency for anyone watching, you and I had a conversation probably 9 months ago at one point.
Yeah.
And then, so we don't have any other relationship other than exchanging a few emails and a phone call here or there. So
yeah.
I'm being authentic when I can tell you that the guys that were eating it over those 2 weekend trips were very impressed with the quality of the product. So e-commerce.
Yeah.
And what does that mean? Like, obviously you're looking to have your Catch and Cook in retail, or maybe you're not, but I think that's probably a goal if you're not already in some. And then e-commerce plays a role. And you said, you know, you had someone going and literally dropping off buckets of or individual orders at a Canada Post location. And I have a side business of my own, hockey socks, where we developed cut resistant hockey socks for hockey players.
Yeah.
And I actually take my own vehicle and drive them to a Canada Post location and pick, pack, and ship and do all of that stuff myself. And it's a great learning experience. But I can tell you, the soon as I can stop doing that, the better.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we just learned, it's been such a learning curve for us because we have no background in e-commerce. Josh used to work for FXR that makes like racing clothing and that sort of stuff. They're a pretty big company. So he knew some marketing stuff, but we've never actually dealt with the shipping and the fulfillment side of things. So, you know, very quickly after trying to do the shipping ourselves, we realized we needed, a 3PL. Like, I'm a fisherman and a photographer. So it's funny when I get into these conversations with experts, because it's like Josh and I are just, this is exactly how I got into photography. It's just like, I'm just getting thrown into it and making the mistakes. And I love it. Like, I've learned so much about e-commerce and about the food business just from this. And it's fun. It feels like I'm going to school again and learning something new. So, we found a 3PL that does the shipping. And shipping in Canada, I'm sure this is a topic that gets brought up a lot. People do not realize how expensive shipping in Canada is.
Yeah.
It is insane. So right away, our goal from the start was, we're going to do only e-commerce. We're only going to sell online and it's going to be great. So we started crunching numbers and it's like, well, if we sell a single bag of Catch and Cook for $12, people are paying on the average $15 to $20 of shipping anywhere in Canada, $15 to $20. So I was like, no one wants to pay $30 for one. So it's like, okay, here's what we're going to do, Josh. We're going to make it so people can only buy 2 packs on the website. You got to buy 2 at once.
Yeah.
And then we thought about it again. We're like, no, we're going to make it only 3 packs. And it's not to be greedy. It's because
economical.
I'd feel bad if someone ordered less than a 3 pack and they paid $15 shipping.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, why should Canada Post get that much money? So right now you can't buy a single pack. You have to buy a 3 pack. So that's what we're doing there. And, you know, even at $15, we're charging $15 shipping and people complain about the price. So what we've learned is, okay, we'll sell 3 packs at $15 and we'll lose $3 to $4 on shipping every order. And it'll just come out of our item price. You know, it still is. We still make more money than a retailer than we sold to a retailer. But yeah,
you and I should have a chat offline. I can help you with shipping and negotiating better shipping rates, because that's what I do. And there's ways to get those companies to invest in your future growth versus what your volume is now to get you better rates. It's the chicken and the egg, right? Which comes first? Do I get the volume? If I don't have good shipping rates, I can't get the volume. So you got to support me early on to get the better rate so I can get to the volume you want me to have.
Yeah, exactly. So right now we've been having discussions like, going on to Amazon. I think Amazon's going to be a big one. So we're trying to figure out the steps of that. It's not necessarily the easiest thing.
Yeah.
And then the next part is just all of the hurdles of getting into, the USA. That's a whole nother marketplace. For selling one-off, two-off bags and going across customs, it's not a big deal. But once you're shipping pallets, it's different crossing the border, right? So right now we're redoing all of our packaging, getting all FDA approved for shipping and retailers. So back to that topic of selling in three packs and selling in one packs, we learned quickly that yes, we can do well selling on e-com, but retail, it would be a mistake not to cash in on that as well.
Yeah.
Right now we opened up the retail tap, a year ago, and it's pretty close to 50-50 on retail to e-com.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can get e-com better because, we're also offering some exclusive products on e-com. And I've heard from some companies that's a good way to keep people through your portal.
Yeah.
And we never want it 100% e-com or 100% retail. It's nice having both, but I think there's, we're just learning about different ways to funnel people through depending where they want to go, right?
Yeah, you don't want to be tied to a specific retailer and be having all the sales come from that channel, because then you're doomed if they decide to go with something else or, comp a different product or whatever. So that's a good strategy to have. If you're looking in the US market, there's a bunch of companies that, especially from a 3PL, SCI is a great company that has a great process to sell into the US. So you might want to have a conversation with some folks over there. There's actually, because of this tax rule where you can actually shop in Canada and US consumers can spend $800 in the Canadian market tax and duty free. Yeah. There's actually some great benefits from selling from here to the US and not necessarily opening up a distribution center in the US, but you have to weigh the pros and cons of the volume that you're going to do. But somebody like an SCI can definitely make some recommendations if your 3PL is not already doing that stuff for you. Yeah. But so you're an influencer. You've got some talent when it comes to videography. You've got now you're becoming a generalist on e-commerce. What else? What's next for Jay?
Oh man,
fatherhood.
Fatherhood. Father in June, so that'll be. I might just be slinging catch and cook from home. That might be my full time gig. But no, I like dabbling, and it's trying to determine how many businesses do you get going. I bought a piece of property. I'm going to build a little fishing camp this spring. So that's another side business. So it's just determining, can we put the people in the right places to help with some of that catch and cook stuff? Cause I want to promote it. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily want to deal with all the back end stuff. I know that's a part of it. So right now my wife, Sam's crushing it on that side of things. And just trying to navigate that. But I mean, it's catch and cook has opened my eyes to just YouTube influencing, and because normally I'm promoting other people's products, but now promoting my own product, it's kind of cool to see that work pay off a little bit, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So it's cool. So we'll see where it goes. Yeah,
great. Well, Jay, we're already 30 something minutes into this. I could go on for another half hour because I've got a ton of specific tips that I'm looking for to catch more fish, but we'll save that for another video. How can anyone reach out to you and connect with you?
Probably the best way to reach out to me is a direct message on Instagram. That's probably what I check the most. Or you can email me at jsiemensmedia, info@jsiemensmedia.com. That's probably the easiest. You can head to jsiemens.com and it's got links to everything there. But I would say most of my time is spent on making YouTube videos, and that's where you can find me.
Awesome. I really appreciate you spending a half hour with me tonight. I know people are going to love listening to this hybrid conversation about being a YouTuber, an influencer, and also being a great entrepreneur at the young age of 30. And I really appreciate it. Keep up the great work. Thanks, I'm a big fan. You made me pay for YouTube as well because I wanted to avoid the commercials.
There you go.
And now I get to just seamlessly go through all your videos. But thanks very much, Jay. I really appreciate it. And a pleasure meeting you face-to-face and having a dialogue tonight.
You as well. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Cheers, man.
You've been listening to Delivering E-Commerce. It's our passion to have on leaders and suppliers in e-commerce from around the globe, setting you and your strategy up for the next level. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information from the show. Make sure to like, rate, and review, and we'll be back soon. Connect with Chris on LinkedIn at Chris Parsons. On LinkedIn and Spotify at Delivering E-Commerce, or on YouTube at Chris Parsons Delivering E-Commerce. Till next time, this is Delivering E-Commerce.